Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 9, and the Steelers are a day away from, mercifully, their final preseason game tomorrow night in Charlotte against the Carolina Panthers. A 7:30 kickoff on that one. And just as a note, as always, you can hear me on the postgame show. It'll be the last one with Matt Williamson coming up about 10:30. We'll wrap everything up. And then the final cutdown's coming Saturday, Dave. So we got a ton to get to. The Antonio Brown news, Ladarius Green news, cuts, more, final game, roster stuff. Here we go.
It's been a busy day for us basement bloggers already. Pounding out some stuff the last couple of days here. Let's start first, I guess, with the hot news being the Antonio Brown restructured contract. And if people, as long as they haven't been hiding underneath a rock and as long as they've been paying attention to the podcast and you know, all those sorts of things, none of this should come to a surprise. I think the only question related to Antonio Brown and a possible restructured deal was, A, how much of his 2017 base salary was he going to get, and B, how much of his 2016 base salary was going to be turned into a signing bonus. Well, we have answers now to both those questions. The Steelers will forward Antonio Brown $4 million of his previously scheduled $8.71 million base salary in 2017 as a signing bonus this year, in addition to turning nearly $5 million right around in there of his 2016 base salary into a signing bonus, and making that lump signing bonus $8.975 million. Now, as a result of this restructure, Antonio Brown will have a base salary in 2016 of $1.275 million. He'll have a base salary in 2017 of $4.71 million. Antonio Brown will now earn $10.25 million in 2016. And all of this thrown into the salary cap machine and adding a little math to it, Antonio Brown's salary cap charge in 2016 actually decreased by $487,500 is the actual number that it decreased. So once again, none of this should have been a surprise, especially when you heard Kevin Colbert talk about how they weren't going to extend his contract. Instead of $2 million like they did last year paying him for it, they paid him $4 million. Antonio Brown's got to be happy. And now we'll just start looking forward to a new deal after the 2016 season's over.
I didn't know your abacus went up that high. But, yes, we got it all sorted out now. And, yeah, as expected, I guess the $4 million was maybe a tad higher than I expected. I expected maybe two or three. But, you know, obviously Antonio Brown's still well underpaid, and he's probably a happier guy today. So Drew Rosenhaus and all the Steeler preseason games he saw to talk to Kevin Colbert and Omar Khan or whoever he was dealing with pays off. And as expected, you know, he gets the promise of a new deal. And we'll see. I mean, we've talked about the money, the guaranteed money that Demaryius Thomas got was $35 million. The single-year contract, A.J. Green, is $15 million. So A.B.'s going to be looking for something. You got to think in the neighborhood, $17, $18 million a year for some period of time with maybe $40 or $50 million guaranteed. And the Steelers have to make a decision whether they want to pay that. Dave, a five-year, five times 18, what is it, five-year $90 million with, you know, $45 million guaranteed at age 30 for Antonio Brown? That's you know, that'll be an interesting conversation that we won't have to start having until, you know, hopefully February, but that's going to be what the conversation is like next year.
Yeah, you can kind of look ahead now and guess, you know, realistically at what some of those parameters are. You know, let's say they you know, basically he'll enter the 2017 offseason with old money of $4.71 million. So most of his contract's going to be obviously new money at that point. Now you could say, okay, $20 million signing bonus right around in there. You could actually, as part of a new deal, you could lower his 2017 base salary down to just under $900,000, you know, and you could actually, and this is a long way off, you know, still, I mean, we have to see what kind of season he has, what he's going to probably kind of ask and all, but you could realistically get out of this next offseason with Antonio Brown's cap charge, you know, staying roughly the same than to what it is right now after the restructure. So it gives the Steelers some flexibility here moving forward. And, you know, as long as he's not wanting $20 million more a season, which are hard to believe that's going to be the case. I mean, if we're talking $16, $17, $18 million, as we sit here right now, there's no reason to think that a deal won't get done, possibly a five-year extension, you know, onto you know, his 2017 season.
I'm with you on all of that. So let's okay. So yeah, we'll see where that goes. And look, the situation is Antonio Brown's got to be a reasonably happy guy, and he has the promise of a new deal, and we'll see. And I think we're on the same page with the numbers. You know, 17, 18, 5 years, and you know, guarantee roughly half of it, and we'll set a new standard. And you know, Antonio Brown's got this year, and hopefully he gets through this year productively and healthy. And then he'll have a chance for, you know, the biggest payday of a receiver ever in the game. Maybe the biggest payday of a non-quarterback ever in the game. So, okay, that was point one today. No big surprise. Still no David DeCastro news. And we've got still about 10 days left for that to take place. And I think the Kelechi Assembly deal probably was a small fly in the ointment, Dave, with the amount of money that he got this offseason from the Raiders, kind of ratcheting up the money that guards, you know, the top price for a guard, which DeCastro is going to be paid right at the top of that level. So that's on the horizon. And then the other news, of course, the Ladarius Green news.
Yeah, about the David DeCastro stuff. Look, I still stand. I know we're kind of running low on time, getting close to the regular season, but you know, we've seen them, you know, wait last minute on a contract with, say, Cortez Allen, and of course Troy Polamalu several years ago signed his extension right at the airport as the team left town. I believe it was for Baltimore that year. I'm still convinced this is going to get done, and even Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette wrote this morning in his chat, yes, they are close to getting it done, in reference to DeCastro and a deal. I will be shocked if it doesn't get done. It only makes sense to get done. They even have now an extra, like I said, you know, an extra $500,000 in salary cap space now that they've got the restructure with Antonio Brown done. So, you know, it's only a matter of pounding out the final numbers. I doubt he's going to exceed Kelechi Osemele's five-year, you know, average yearly value that he got. But, you know, it could end up being somewhere in $10-$10.5 million range, and that's where I expected. But I do expect that to get done. The other news that you just talked about, Ladarius Green, as you got further and further along in this preseason, you started to get a feeling that Ladarius Green was going to be headed to reserve PUP, and that indeed wound up being the case on Tuesday, as the Steelers finally made the few roster moves they needed to do to get down to 75 players. He, of course, while now on reserve PUP, will have to miss the first six games of the 2016 regular season, and he cannot begin practicing until the end of the sixth regular season weekend, and must begin practicing before the conclusion of the 11th week of the regular season. So You know, a lot of people had this confused with IR designated to return. David, I had some comments on the site. I think people saying, well, now they have to choose between, let's say, a Cinquez Gulson and a Ladarius Green. That is not the case. These are two separately different things here. Ladarius Green, as long as you know, he's able to practice prior to between weeks, you know, end of week six and prior to the end of week 11, he can return, and that's going to have no bearing on the designated to return designation that's associated with injured reserve. So now we just sit and wait and wonder if we'll ever find out if it's indeed the ankle or if it's concussions or headaches or anything that's been speculated with Ladarius Green.
I'll tell you, Dave, it's one of the more intriguing and probably frustrating for fans situations that we've had with the Steelers in a long time, in terms of nobody giving a clear, concise answer as to what the issue is. Obviously, there was an ankle injury, and you know, some of the guys who cover the Steelers on the beat keep kind of ratcheting up the hyperbole about the worst signing ever and stuff like that. That seems to me, again, to be misplaced to be making that assessment before a regular season game has been played in the first year of a contract where he now is obviously going to miss at least the first six games. There's an issue with the ankle. If the, you know, look, the Steelers thought Pouncey last year after his injury was going to be able to come back after the bye week. Well, he ends up having seven surgeries, not just one surgery, and the ankle didn't heal as planned. I can tell you from having seen Ladarius Green that I think things are generally on track with the ankle, in the sense that he's working out. He's been doing some running and jumping. I have never seen him go full speed, but there's, you know, he's it's weight bearing. He's on the ankle. It's not keeping him from that. But then the whole head issue, the concussion, the sinus, the whatever it is just, it's just a big vacuum out there in terms of what we actually know. There have been a lot of things speculated, comments by, you know, one of the Chargers beat writers about him missing a flight late in the season after the, you know, well after the injury supposedly took place, if it was a, you know, concussion. So I understand the frustration and where things are, and certainly this is disappointing to everybody involved, but, you know, I don't feel like we know anything more than we did, you know, 3 weeks ago.
And we really don't, right? I mean, he, you know, other than, you know, that interview that he gave, what, last week or so, which we really didn't learn anything more than that, other than him still expecting he's going to play in 2016. And why wouldn't he, you know, or why wouldn't he at least utter those words when kind of asked about it? So here's the thing now, though, with him on reserve PUP, save your breath asking Mike Tomlin about him during the press conference, David. You might as well.
I'm gonna ask him.
Yeah, you might as well formulate, you know, might as well attack another issue that might be crop up during the time there, because he's gonna continue to, you know, give you very, very little information on this. And unless Green kind of slips up during an interview, which now I'm not sure they're obligated with him being on reserve PUP to even make him available to the media. At this point, it'd be interesting to find out, you know, if indeed that's true. Here's the thing: at least he's out there doing some work on the side. Now, whether or not, you know, that's to see if he can handle exertion without having headaches afterwards. Maybe he's just doing it to press that ankle. Maybe he had some sort of setback with the ankle. We just don't know now. I mean, we're gonna sit here and speculate about it for the next 6, 7, 8, 9, hopefully not much longer weeks than that, but I'm not sure. I mean, eventually I think we'll know the truth. It's just not going to be anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah. So we talked about getting down to 75, Dave. We had the bulk of the names on the Monday podcast, and so the other three names in green get the roster in order for this one. In terms of where the Steelers are, Mike spoke yesterday in his podcast. He was, you know, just 6.5 minutes or so in his press briefing. Was just 6.5 minutes or so, and nobody's going to play in this game. You know, Artie Burns is going to play, and Javon Hargrave is going to play, and Dan McCullers might get some snaps. but you're not going to see many guys. You know, you'll see some of the secondary guys. I don't know if he ruled Mitchell out, but I guess Golden will play some. But it's going to be the B team. You know, there'll be some of the offensive linemen just out of necessity in terms of the roster will play a bit. But, you know, this will be interesting because, again, this is the game that people like the least, but these guys are playing for a significant amount of money. I mean, you talk about an opportunity to be guaranteed to a point. I mean, an opportunity to have the opportunity to earn, you know, $450,000, $500,000 versus being a practice squad guy and getting nothing close to that, or being out of football and having to go on with your life's work. It's a big day for you know, a bunch of players.
Yeah, here are the players that Mike Tomlin ruled out: Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams, Marcus Wheaton, James Harrison, Jarvis Jones, Cameron Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Lawrence Timmons, Ryan Shazier, Mike Mitchell, and William Gay, and David Todd he ruled out as well, too. He also said several of the team's starting offensive linemen will sit out. You have to think Marcus Gilbert's going to be one of those guys with that elbow injury of his. I doubt you'll see Marquise Pouncey. I doubt you'll see David DeCastro. You know, you'll probably see Ryan Harris play quite a bit in this game. Maybe Alejandro Villanueva, maybe a series or two, and that's probably pushing it. I think you're going to see a lot of Chris Hubbard, a lot of B.J. Finney, and obviously the reserve guys, the depth guys after that. It'll be interesting to see. Look, it's worth the price of admission, in my opinion, to see Artie Burns make his NFL debut against the Panthers. And although Mike didn't sound confident about Bud Dupree making his 2016 debut, it'll be worth seeing that if he's allowed to suit up as well. And then, of course, you got Roosevelt Nix, who had to sit out the last game. I'm betting we don't see him in this game. Lord, who else, David? I mean, Robert Golden, it'll be interesting. Mike Tomlin didn't name him.
He'll have to play.
Yeah, I mean, Shamarco's banged up with a groin. Is he going to play? There's some people going to have to play or be dressed and on standby, because I think Alex Cazor laid it out perfectly right now. You basically have a 45-man roster that you're working with, and that's kind of what you dress for a regular game, right? So
yeah, you're not going to have a lot of extra bodies around. You know, I'm sure those guys will have, you know, have their helmet and pads on the sideline, but, you know, they're not going to be pressed into service unless it's a disaster, and then Mike Tomlin is going to just start kneeling on the football or something crazy. And, you know, every team's in the same position here, just about. So you've got some injured guys, you've got a bunch of guys you don't want to have play, and then you got guys trying to make a team. And, you know, the guys who are out there are going to be playing for their lives. So it's not going to lack for energy, I wouldn't think.
Right, absolutely. And you want to kind of segue now into some of these. I just had a post go up on Steelers Depot just a little while ago talking about the basically the bubble boys, David.
Let's just start with everybody's favorite, Matakevich, and you know, I'm convinced they'll keep 10 linebackers. They haven't always done that. I think there was a year they went in with 8. Obviously the this year, with knowing that James Harrison has got to be his last year, Jarvis Jones is an impending free agent, Lawrence Timmons is an impending free agent, you're more likely to keep extra guys around. So Chicolo is going to make the team as the fifth outside guy. And I'm still convinced L.J. Fort and Steven Johnson are on the team. So that gives you 10 with the other 3 inside guys. And that means Matakevich is basically competing with every other roster spot to basically be the 52nd or 53rd guy because of special teams play. And the big benefit for him, obviously, is they are so thin in the defensive backfield that when they put Senquez Golson on the IR, they might only have 8 defensive backs on the roster right now.
You are correct, sir. In fact, my list of 7 bubble boys heading into this preseason finale goes Steven Johnson, L.J. Fort, Tyler Matakevich as the 3 outside linebackers battling for 2 spots. Inside backers battling for 2 spots. Now, here's the thing. Could you see something along the lines of what we saw last year with, you know, that they initially kept Duran Grant and Anthony Chicolo only to shuffle those guys out you know, a day after the initial 53-man is set. You wouldn't think so because they have to keep Cinquez Gulson right now. We'll see what they kind of do with maybe a roster shuffle with a guy like Bruce Gretkowski. You know, what happens there. But the best odds would be that even after the initial cuts are made, on Saturday, that 10 linebackers will make up this roster. 5 outside and 5 inside guys. I personally, a lot of people, there's a lot of people in this, David, we are battling a lot of people in this Tyler Matakevich fan club. Personally, I see Steven Johnson as already kind of being one of those guys. And then it comes down to L.J. Fort and Matakevich, in my opinion, and you can make strong arguments for either one of those guys. I don't think it's going to be all three. Johnson, Fort, and Matakevich. The thing is with Matakevich here is he didn't play a lot of snaps in the third preseason game. Most of the 47 snaps, if not all of them, I forgot to double check this, of the 47 defensive snaps he's played so far during the preseason have come in the fourth quarter. Not sure how much you can read into that. He has, however, logged 32 reps on special teams, so it's obvious he's getting a long look there. Now, you look at a guy like L.J. Fort. L.J. Fort has played 50 more defensive snaps. 5-0. Your age, David. Well, actually, a little bit younger than your age. 50 more defensive snaps than Tyler Matakevich has so far during the preseason. He has, however, played 5 less special team snaps there. So, you know, it's going to be a great battle between these three. Now, moving on from that battle, look, Ladarius Green going on reserve PUP all but makes it, you know, academic at this point that a guy like Xavier Grimble will make the final 53-man roster. However, if a tight end came open on waivers that they liked, that was experienced and a little bit better special teams player, I wouldn't be shocked to see a shuffle there. So that's why I put him there. The other three players on my list, David, tell me how you feel about these three and their chances. Montel Garner, Al-Haj Shabazz, and Jordan Dangerfield.
Well, they're the right guys, for sure, when you think about it, in terms of how many DBs you have. And, you know, we went through this once before. You've got the, let's call Davis the starter. That's 5. Artie, 6. Duran Grant, 7. Cinquez Gulson's 8, but he's not going to be there. Shamarco is then 8. I'm assuming that he's going to be on the roster and not, you know, I haven't heard about this, the groin injury, how serious it is, but he's not going on the IR. So Shamarco's 8. So there's room for one of those guys. I think one of those guys makes the team, but he may get cut initially, but makes the team when Gulson goes IR, unless, of course, they go to the waiver wire and find their this year's Ross Cockrell, because you don't have enough guys. You just flat don't have enough of them. And I kind of personally have liked Garner, what I've seen, but I wouldn't suggest I have any insight as to any of the three having, you know, being a better, more likely than any of the other two.
Yeah, and here's a breakdown of their snaps, which is kind of surprising, David. Montel Garner has played 72 defensive snaps during the preseason. That's probably not surprising. Throw that number out, forget you ever heard it. He has, however, only played 9 special team snaps, and that's a bit concerning if you're going to be roster player number 53 or 52. You would think that if you're going to keep an extra defensive back, it's going to be one that can give you something on special teams. Now, Shabazz, he has played 68 defensive snaps. He has played 30 special team snaps, over 3 times the amount of special team snaps that Montel Garner has played. Now, Shabazz really has made more kind of defensive plays as far as, you know, an outside cornerback has gone as well. He has 2 passes defense in addition to 1 special teams tackle and 4 total defensive tackles. So those are the 2 young cornerbacks I think this thing could come down to. And as you stated, man, it would not shock me one bit, and I'm really expecting them to go out and find find themselves another Ross Cockrell, if you will, here in the coming week. Now, Jordan Dangerfield, he's battling a lot of people. He's battling himself. He's battling he's battling the Shamarco Thomas injury. He's battling
Tyler Matakevich fan club.
Yeah, the Tyler Matakevich fan club, and he's battling safety position roster numbers, if you will. So, you know, with that said, I don't think you can thoroughly throw him, you know, throw the Dangerfield baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, as far as his chances go of making this roster. I think he's definitely on the outside looking in. Plain and simple, David, here's the guy. I have Steven Johnson inside the bubble. I have Fort and Matakevich on the bubble. I have Grimble inside the bubble. And I have Garner, Shabazz, and Dangerfield, the boys in the plastic bubble, just outside the plastic bubble looking in. You know,
yeah, I'm with you. I've got Fort and Steven Johnson firmly on the roster, so that's probably the only difference that I've got.
I want to make sure I leave myself a little wiggle room just in case Matakevich look that way I can point my finger at you and make you the bad guy here. But you know, look.
Well, you know, the idea that they cut Gronkowski to get through that 53 in that first week is, I don't think that's an unreasonable idea, that they go 53 and, you know, maybe Matakevich sneaks in and Gronkowski's cut, and then after they play the Redskins, they re-sign Gronkowski and somebody goes.
Yeah, so in other words, the Matakevich fan club could both win and lose, right?
Yeah. No, and one thing, I think I said this on my show yesterday, is one thing I'll guarantee is the roster, the 53-man roster at 4 o'clock Saturday will not be the 53-man roster Monday morning, or the coming Monday, or the Monday they play the Redskins.
You're absolutely right. There's going to be dancing going on, and it's going to be fun to watch the dance. I mean, we've seen this dance for, what, 3 years in a row? Something like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. So, you know, if that's why I'm kind of in my roster predictions now, David. I'm making sure to clarify in there that this is the 53 that I see the Steelers taking with them to Washington, because I don't think that 53 is going to match the 53 that the team has, you know, Saturday night for sure. But can you think of any other bubble guys other than those seven guys that I mentioned that you would even remotely consider having a shot at this roster?
No. I don't think either Hamilton or Ayers or Feeney. Dave, let me just ask you, because Ray Fittipaldo wrote in the Post-Gazette today that Feeney's on all the special teams units, and you wrote that he only had four snaps. I'm guessing you got that right, right?
That's what it looks like, David, four special team snaps. Remember, he missed what, one game, right? And then he played three special team snaps in one and one special team snap in another. So, you know, unless my eyes are deceiving me, which I am, you know, close to your age now, so that's a possibility. Let's see here. Let me double check here. One, he's listed as one special team snap against the Eagles, and with the other three coming this past week against the Saints. Now,
so maybe they're talking about he'll get a chance on all of them this week, and that's, I'm sure that's the case. I'm sure he'll be on everything this week because they don't have enough guys, and all those linebackers and DBs are going to be out there on all the special teams units. So it'll be interesting, but I don't think he has a chance. I don't, you know, like I said, unless somebody gets hurt, he and Ayers are going to the practice squad. Kobe Hamilton probably goes to the practice squad. A couple of the, you know, Dangerfield and one of the corners go to the, maybe two of the corners go to the practice squad. A running back goes to the practice squad. An offensive lineman, Kashad Lyons, probably goes to the practice squad. He's notable. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Matakevich.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bryn Renner, I mean, I don't think he's got a chance, you know, a prayer. It'd been nice to see them kind of turn him loose a little bit more last week. But, I mean, how much of the playbook and verbiage? And, David, have you been watching Hard Knocks at all?
I have not seen Hard Knocks once this year.
Man, that what a great show that is. It just goes to show you how much these young quarterbacks have to learn as far as verbiage and stuff like that. For a guy to come in, you know, so quickly, such as a Bryn Renner, and be able to absorb, you know, everything that goes along with it. I mean, it's just a courtesy feeding to the Lions, if you will, with Bryn Renner. And the fact that the Steelers have not placed Bruce Gronkowski on IR yet, you know, I think is a sign that he's going to be the number three quarterback at this point. And look,
yeah, and I was wrong about that. I thought he was done with that injury, but it all makes sense. Look, if he can be ready by, if he can be reasonably healthy by week three, why go get somebody else when he knows the system, he's around? And Dave, just a piece of breaking news from Adam Schefter, literally just came across Twitter. Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, and James Harrison cleared an NFL's PED investigation. So I don't think that's surprising to anybody, but there you have it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great news. I'm tired of writing about that.
Well, you got one more to write.
Yeah, one more to write. Hopefully Alex is getting on this right now, so I don't have to. But that's definitely good news for sure. What else do we got heading into this final preseason game? Look, I mean, we talked about the DeCastro deal. I will be surprised if that doesn't happen. What else we got? Mike Tomlin talking about Marcus Gilbert during his press conference, saying that, look, you know, he has no really plans to manage him at this point. Either he's healthy enough to play on a week-to-week basis or he's not. You know, Gilbert, of course, said that he could possibly need surgery at the end of the season. You know, but, I mean, he should be healthy enough to play to hear him talk and to hear Tomlin talk. Cameron Hayward, who will obviously sit out this preseason game, just keep your fingers crossed as far as he goes. I thought Mike Tomlin had some nice praise for Ricardo Matthews during his press conference as well, too, calling him a blue collar, you know, hard working guy, willing to kind of do anything. And I think fans who have watched the three preseason games so far should be, you know, fairly impressed with what they've seen out of Ricardo Matthews thus far during the preseason, and you know, look for him to get some more valuable snaps against the Carolina Panthers as well too. One other interesting note: the Kansas City Chiefs placed Justin Houston on reserve PUP yesterday, so that means he'll miss the first 6 weeks of the season. So that means the Steelers won't have a Houston problem in their Week 4 game against the Chiefs as well. So
yeah, good point. Deion Lewis goes on PUP along with Sebastian Vollmer for New England, which brings into question whether they'll be back for the Steelers-Patriots game.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I think we're kind of tattooing this thing pretty good, David, unless you've got anything else you kind of want to hit on here.
No, the only other thing I was just going to drop in there, obviously the Teddy Bridgewater stuff, is just it's exactly this type of stuff that you just beg doesn't happen to your team. You never, ever see quarterbacks get hurt in practice anymore. And Bridgewater back in the pocket, a severe knee injury. Fortunately, it doesn't look like there's any nerve damage, but dislocated kneecap, torn ACL. I mean, they knew it at the time it happened. Practice, the rest of practice canceled, all that stuff. So a legit playoff team that was in last year that was ready to take maybe a step forward and be one of the three or four best teams in the NFC, even though they were a playoff team, I'm not sure anybody considered them that last year. This is a massive blow. And we'll see if a guy like Mike Glennon or Josh McCown or Mark Sanchez, you know, go through the list, E.J. Manuel, Geno Smith, I mean, pick who you want, any of those guys become available. But they're going to go in, it looks like they're going to at least at the moment go in with Sean Hill.
Would you, if you're Mike Zimmer, call Mike Brown from the Bengals and inquire about A.J. McCarron?
I'd be calling everybody, yeah. I mean, would you give up a three for A.J. McCarron? Probably, right?
I think I would. Yeah. I think that's the borderline where you draw the line. Would you give up a two?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends on how, you know, Mike Zimmer probably, you know, Dave, that's a good point. I mean, Mike Zimmer probably has a better idea than most, right? Having come out of the Bengals organization. right? He did come out of the Bengals organization,
correct.
Right?
Defensive coordinator there before.
So he probably has a sense of exactly what McCarron is. So I'll leave it to him, but I don't know that I'd give up a two. But if I thought he could come in and start week one and he could understand the verbiage and handle things, I would certainly consider it. Because, I heard they asked Zimmer if he's done for – Bridgewater's done for the season. He said, it doesn't look good, but, we're not going to rule it out. Well, I'll rule it out. He's done for the season.
Yeah, and he did call to say, they believe it's a significant injury. And it would be a minor miracle, I think, at this point if they got Teddy back at all. I don't see that happening. Somebody asked me on Twitter if they should consider signing Michael Vick. I told him, I said, I would beg Brett Favre to come out of retirement before I'd even think about calling Mike Vick. Do you concur?
Hell yeah. Yes. Yes. And, we've seen now the injuries around the league. So the two surprising starters here on week one are going to be Dak Prescott and Sean Hill, it looks like. I guess Trevor Siemian's a pretty surprising situation in Denver. I don't know that there's any other battles in Dave in terms of injuries. How about in terms of cuts? We see that Kruger signs with the New Orleans Saints. That's probably a decent signing for them. They were looking for him the first time around, and now they get a lesser version of him. Any other names on the cut to 75 that caught your attention? Zach Mettenberger?
I think if the Wiz couldn't save Mettenberger, a second time around, that's got to be it there in my opinion. The Browns turning loose the Williams kid, the young cornerback out of Pitt. That looked maybe like something the Steelers might could be able to pursue. However, the Bears quickly snatched him off of the waiver wire, so you can forget about that. We already talked about Bleedy, right, the other day.
We did. You did mention Bleedy.
Yeah, but I think at this point it's obvious that unless he's claimed off waivers today, I hadn't seen anything as far as that goes. So that's not looking like an option. What about Jeff Schwartz, who the Steelers had in for a visit, during the offseason, who signed with the Lions ultimately, and then now is out on the street again?
Yeah, I imagine somebody will take a shot at him, although Matt Williamson didn't seem to think that that he had a lot left. So I'll defer to his judgment.
Yeah, he's a guy that can play all five positions for you. Now, just because he can play them doesn't mean he can play them well. Best suited to play right guard or right tackle, can give you some emergency snaps at center. The Steelers obviously didn't sign him, and how many times have we seen the guys that leave town never ever return? So,
right.
I would bet against it at this point. How do you think the Browns are handling things, David?
Well, I know they took a lot of heat for this Andy Lee situation, but I'm going to defend the Browns here, and I'm not necessarily going to defend the process. I don't know if they were shopping Lee all along or what the relationship is between the actual play that he got chewed out on for not making the tackle or given the effort to make the tackle or not. But I will say the Browns are much better off with any punter in the world and a fourth-round pick than they are with Andy Lee and a seventh-round pick. They're not going to be a good team this year. They're more than likely not going to be a good team next year. So Andy Lee's value to the franchise and paying him $3.5, $4 million over these couple years, not significant. So, yeah, make the deal. I mean, it looks bad in terms of how it came about, possibly, but I think the deal from a football perspective makes great sense.
In other words, punter is not going to win you a championship.
Not going to win you a championship. Not that team.
Kruger and his $6 million, worthy of cutting?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, again, it's, I'm not, this is not a season that they should be worried about any of their veterans, and if they save money and can give that spot to a younger guy who has a chance to develop, who can help them 2 years down the road, yes, go move on. And I think they did Kruger the favor of doing it at the 75 cut so that he could get a job somewhere else, and he did.
How do you feel if you're Joe Thomas, the left tackle on that team, David?
I guess the opportunity to be traded has been brought up to him, and I think he's kind of turned that down. So I think it's going to be for Joe Thomas, if you're Joe Thomas, I guess you look and say, I hope my 10th and 11th years are the best years and I can leave with a good memory here. The nice thing is Joe Thomas doesn't lack for recognition. Cleveland lacks for the spotlight, but everybody knows who Joe Thomas is and how good he is. And I don't think it'll hurt him, you know, getting to the Hall of Fame or any of that. But I just, you know, he's going to be, you know, he's a Pro Bowl player every year. Obviously, he's an all pro caliber player. But yeah, it's got to sting, you know, going to the locker room and losing every week. But he goes out and does his job.
All right. Give me a player on offense and defense that you're most looking forward to see play against the Panthers Thursday night.
I'm kind of interested to see DeMarcus Ayers, to see what he does if they give him the ball on an end around again and if they try to throw him the football at all. Always happy to be watching Eli Rogers, and this will be his moment to shine. So I'll look at those two guys offensively. Defensively, of course, we'll all be watching Artie Burns every play. And then, you know, some of these other corners. But I guess we'll see what kind of snaps Medikevich gets. And Ricardo Matthews, LT Walton, and Keshawn Lyons. I'm interested to see them as a group. I mean, Javon Hargrave has done his job, and he's a lock. And I think he has now guaranteed himself significant playing time this season. So I don't know how much he'll play, but I'm looking forward to seeing the other guys on that D-line play.
What do you think of the chances of Hargrave starting the season as the over McCullers?
I think the chances of them getting equal snaps are high. I mean, I would expect in week one they both play 20 snaps. So that's where I go. I mean, which one starts might depend on whether they come out in the base defense or not. Hargrave isn't going to start. Let's put it that way. If they don't come out in the base defense, it's going to be Tuitt and Hayward, assuming he's healthy. And if they do, McCullers will be on the field. So I don't think he'll get that kind of opportunity. But I do expect, in terms of snaps that he sees, he and McCullers will be even, 15 to 20 a game.
All right. Tell people what you're going to be doing on Thursday.
Yeah, of course. We'll have the Steeler Radio Network pregame show, the game, and then Matt and I. From the studios, the last time. It'll be Charlie Batch during the regular season, so I'm looking forward. I've never worked with Charlie before, so looking forward to that. But we'll be on the Steeler Radio Network. You can hear us on the iHeart app, on the Steeler Nation Radio app, on the DVE broadcast, anywhere you can hear it. So we'll be on from about 10:30 till 1 o'clock tomorrow night, wrapping things up, and then Dave and I will be back with you on Friday.
That sounds good. You can follow me on Twitter, folks, at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter, at David M. Todd. Follow the show, at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. We're open to taking donations again. If you would like to do so, you can go to SteelersDepot.com and find that donate button in the top right navigational bar. And as David said, we'll be back on Friday. We'll recap for you what happened Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers and start speculating a little bit more of how these final roster cuts will go on Saturday, and start looking forward to the start of the 2016 regular season as well. So, David, appreciate it. And, David, I'll talk to you on Friday.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.